What we are going to talk about is, and I have not love. And we are going to restrict ourselves to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. We'll restrict ourselves to verse 1 to 3. But before that, we will read from chapter 12, verse 28, and then to chapter 13, verse 3, and then we'll read verse 14, 1 to 5, and then 12 to 13, and we'll proceed from there. I hope we are there together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 28. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now, I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clinging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Chapter 14, 1 to 5. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. 12 to 13. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. By way of general introduction, in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, it must be noted that chapter 12 continues in chapter 14. Chapter 13 is kind of parenthesis. It's not a part of discussion. It's a flow of a teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, chapter 13 is not a part of the discussion. It is explaining something which I would want you to mention. I wouldn't want to say it. So you discover that as you read chapter 12, if you omit chapter 13 and continue in chapter 14, the flow will just continue. You wouldn't need chapter 13 for it to begin to make a meaning. But there is something, there is a statement there that made him to introduce chapter 13. In verse 31 of chapter 12, he said, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And I would want you to help me say what is the greater gift. But the one that we want to talk about is the excellent way. What is the excellent way? If you want to help us, you can raise up your hand. He said, and now I will show you the most excellent way. What is that excellent way? Yes. The way of love. So it is that statement that led him to writing the most beautiful prose in the whole of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The best prose you can have on love is because of that excellent way that he had to introduce it before he continued his discussion in chapter 14. So as we look at our topic today, you will discover that the emphasis is placing whatever you're doing, whether it is service, in the eye of love. Otherwise, it will be useless. It will be nothing. It will not profit anybody anything. Like somebody put it this way, that you will be doing good to men, but you will not be having any good for yourself. Because it is not born out of love. In other words, you can display, you can give people gifts along the road, you can show all kinds of things to individuals. You are doing good to people, but that good is not to yourself because of the type of heart from where it is coming out from. So that is the flow of the thoughts. And the topic of the discussion, like I've said, is on the spiritual gifts. And if you look at that, though, we'll come back to it, that verse 28. After the questioning in chapter 12, verse 28 to 30, in response to the obstinate and arrogant Corinthian Christians, Paul had to admonish them to go the way, the excellent way. When he was talking this, he was not happy. This is more like you're quarreling your child and you are talking to him at the top of your voice because of his obstinacy. The Corinthian Christians prided themselves in their giftedness. Whereas even amongst them, we had people who were committing immorality. Even amongst them, you had people who were quarreling with one another. This one will say I'm of Apollos. This one will say I'm of Silas. And the other one will say I'm of Christ. And in the midst of that, their giftedness, there was no love in the church. And so if you look at the way he was asking them these questions, he was not happy. He was asking them, if you are priding yourself that you are an apostle, you are priding yourself that you can work miracles, you are priding yourself that you can speak in tongues, if this is all that constitutes the church, can the church progress? If your gift is the only gift in the church, can the church progress? For a church to make a meaningful progress, there must be a prophet, there must be a teacher, there must be people who cleaned this church. That one is not named. The gift of service. The time you will know the importance of the cleaners in this church is maybe something happened and one of them fell sick and maybe the other one traveled and they didn't come to clean the church. By the time you get in and then you do like this on the chair and you find the thing is what? Brownish. Will you sit on it? And then by the time you use your hand to clean the chair, you will need to go to the bathroom to go and wash your hand or the toilet. Is it not true? And then the pastor himself, is he going to be happy? He climbs there, he looks at the chair, that their white will just change to brown. And so everybody will be forced to begin to clean. Another 15 or 20 minutes may go. That service is disrupted, is it not? But when we come and the place is clean, we don't tend to appreciate their work. So everybody in the church is supposed to have a part to play. When you are attending a church and you are a bench warmer, you are useless to the church. It's not supposed to be so. And that's what he was asking them. And then they now had to come and begin to tell them, I will tell you about the greater gift. And which one is the greater gift? Anybody? Either a principle or the particular gift you can name as the greater gift. But you use S there, and that's why you need to look more for principle. Yes. The gifts that edify the church may not necessarily be just prophecy. But why he's naming prophecy is because he's comparing prophecy to tongue, which is where the majority, tend to, recline because it is easy. And it is the one that displays you as a spiritual person. And Scofield will tell us that overemphasis on tongues is a display of childishness, spiritual childishness. When all the gifts you have as a Christian is speaking in tongues. I remember one time we were having Bible study in NIFES when we were students, and I was Bible study coordinator. And I was telling them as we were having the preparatory that if it is only speaking in tongues that we have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I will not need it. If you look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that's the main thing. The Bible says that you shall receive the Holy Ghost and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And so as Oswald J. Smith said, that he cannot speak in tongues, but he cannot name the number of souls he has won for God, and he has gone from station to station preaching the gospel and bringing souls into the kingdom. I would prefer that. That all your Christianity circulates around speaking in tongues. So the principle is what our brother has told us. That the gifts you should desire are those gifts that will help you to edify the church. And that's why Paul said that if you're going to speak in tongues, if you're going to prophesy, if you're going to speak in tongues, you must be sure that it's somebody there or yourself that must have to interpret it so that it will be useful to somebody. Otherwise, you'll just be making noise. Praise the Lord. So let's look at some details. Coveting the best gifts and in the most excellent way. Number one is that you have to covet earnestly the gifts that will help somebody, that will touch some life. Because that's exactly what we are going to narrow down this message into. The issue of touching life from your love. Not just it being a display that promotes your ego and your personhood. What is the best gifts and what is the more excellent way? Chapter 13 set out to answer question 2, while chapter 14 verse 1 to 5 answers question 1. The best gifts are gifts that promote unity, love, and edification of the church. Wilmington described the spiritual gifts as God's divine bricks to be used in the construction of his holy and earthly temple. I'll take it again. The spiritual gifts are God's divine bricks to be used in the construction of his holy and earthly temple. While love serves as the celestial cement in which holds the bricks together. So the key verse we must take home today is that chapter 12, verse 31. If you forget every other thing I've said this morning, don't forget 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. In all your Christian conduct, in all your Christian endeavors, covet the thing that makes for unity, the thing that makes increase love in the body of Christ. Don't be one of those that create schism in the body. You organize yourself against the pastor, you form cliques. I have belonged to a fellowship where some members of the fellowship vowed that they will never agree with whatever the president says. And these people are supposed to be Christian leaders. In the church, there are people like that. You come to the church just to find fault, but desire to acquire the gifts and the giftings and ability that makes for the unity, the oneness, and the progress of the church. And then whatever you are doing, the underlying principle should be the issue of love, the excellent way. That verse 31, you can memorize it, and let it become the pattern and the foundation of your life. Amen. That is the pivot of our discussion this morning. What therefore is Paul saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, where we are narrowing down to? Is he condemning tongues? Church, is Paul condemning tongues? Because here he said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong. Is he condemning tongues? And in verse 2, he said, if I have gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Is he condemning prophecy? Is he condemning knowledge? No, all these are things that are wonderful, which you should acquire and use. And in verse 3, he said, if I give all the possessions I have to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Is he condemning giving to the poor? Is he condemning almsgiving? No, but if you are doing that, you are not going beyond what our brothers in the other religion do. When I was working in Nigerian Freight Company in Kaduna, even during Harmattan, if you leave your house by 6 a.m., beggars are already lying along the road. So the issue of almsgiving is one of the pillars of Islam. And so they do it. They outdo you and I in it. I was even surprised. One of the times I was driving from Bida to Mina. As I entered into Mina City, by the right, I saw a building. And what was written on that building is Ministry of Women Affairs and Zakat. I was amazed. I know Zakat is almsgiving. It's like our tithing. For a Muslim, you're a businessman, you're a medical doctor, you're an engineer. The income you make, certain percentage of it is to be set aside for the poor. And I was amazed that the government can have a ministry for that. Is there any governor in the East that has a ministry on welfare to the poor? Eh? But Niger State government has a ministry to women affairs and zakat. So we cannot outdo them. If that is all your Christianity, that you were during Christmas, you buy bags of rice and share. I remember at the cathedral, this man, I won't call his name, big man, old boss of my school. Every December, he buys bags of rice and some other things for widows. And the bishop, they will go to television. I think you will see them there. But that same man cannot keep a wife. I know the mother made every effort for him to live with his wife. Not possible. There was a time his house in New Haven was the best house. And yet when you go there, it's holiness. It doesn't have anything to do with God. And yet he outgives you and I. Every December, he does it. So if that is all that your Christianity is, it is not profiting you anything. That's what our brother Paul is trying to say. So the first point we want to look at is you can speak in tongues for selfish purpose. And that is very, especially among those of us who are Pentecostals, you see some of us use it for display. One of the things I hated most in NIFES is when we come to a program and you are leading us with prayer and then you'll be speaking in tongues. Remember Ikoma, a blessed memory. When you're speaking in tongues, when you finish praying, I don't say amen. I think my wife then used to say amen. I don't say amen because it's not biblical. I will come for congregational worship and you're speaking in tongues. If you're praying privately or you're on your own, that's a different thing. But if they ask you to pray, you don't begin to pray in tongues. Otherwise, you'll be a barbarian to the people who are with you. So you can do that for selfish reasons. That's what he's saying. Because there's no love in it. You're not considering the other persons. I worked in Camp of Faith before I came to this Enugu. I was in charge of that place. And you tell my security people to go and call people to order. They are afraid because that man that is speaking in tongues can place a curse on you. Come to a pastor and say, hey, you are staying with this other person. This your prayer is disturbing. You say, my talking to God is disturbing. And with red eyes, I said, yes. That your prayer is disturbing to the other person. Some of them are prepared to fight. Pastor that came to wait on the Lord, some of them came to pray for 1 month, pray to be, and the other person that is kneeling near you, you are not considering him. And then you are vibrating with your tongue, and you are praying. The other brother like talking to God quietly, can no longer pray. I don't know whether it has happened to you. You tell them you cannot pray in the rooms. Pastors, especially those of them who are president founders, he stays in the room and he will be shouting, he will put music and he will be singing. And that is 12 midnight when some other person is supposed to be enjoying his sleep. So you become selfish. That your spirituality is not producing unity of the body. It's not helping the other person. It's even provoking the person. And so that your tongue is hurting even to God. That's what our brother is saying. If there's no love in it, it is useless. It is like just making noise. Chapter 14, verse 4, he said, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. It's purely for you. But he who prophesies edifies the church. And he went down to encourage you to aspire to prophesy so that the church will be edified. 27 to 28 of the same chapter 14. 27 to 28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two at most, three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. That's the standard. If there's no interpretation that is going to take place to make it meaningful to the church, then that person should keep quiet. Number two, the gift of prophecy, which he refers to as the best gift, chapter 14, verse 1 to 5, because it promotes the edification through the unity of the church. Number three, understanding mysteries, possessing knowledge that is of benefit to no one, is useless. Like, in this Enugu, I know of one, you spend 5, 6, 7 years in the university to become a medical doctor. And you leave your certificate. And you come and be selling moto. Have you not seen your colleagues that are selling cars? In this Enugu, Upper Chime, goes up outside the border to get vehicle to come and sell and left the message he read. Is that knowledge useful to anybody? Huh? I had a teacher when I was at Government College at Fikpo. So I used to go to cook for him. I knew he was a very lazy man because I can cook for him. After 7 days, you come back, that pot you use in cooking, muka will just fill it. I have to tie something on my nose to wash the pot. So I was not surprised when he took jam and took jam for almost 3 to 5 years. But how I eventually got admission to read medicine, I don't know. So I was not surprised when I got to Onitsha. I was working in the bank in Onitsha. I had an account with us. Do you know what he wrote in his ledger card as his profession? He didn't write doctor. He wrote trading in medicine. So he had brought himself to the same level with traders. I'm not saying they said. I saw with my two eyes his ledger card. What he wrote as his profession is trading on medicine. And it was known in Onitsha that if you want to die, or if you want to have abscess after injection, go to that hospital. So his knowledge was useless to any man. So you have faith that you can move mountain. It is futility when it cannot impact on another person. It's an exercise in futility. Number 4, almsgiving and burning oneself. I say those are brothers, they are doers. See, somebody will enter a brand new car and then he will put bomb in it and kill himself and to kill another person. Is it normal? At least you should have that natural instinct for self-protection. Your worshipping of God, your serving God, has brought you to a realm where you no longer value human life on your own. So if you burn yourself at the stake, you are useless to yourself and to any man, and even to the God you think you're serving. That's what our brother Paul is trying to say. But as Christians, our almsgiving must be born out of love and empathy. What therefore is expected of us? What is expected of us? That's the question we want to answer, and then we'll pray. I think it was 2 Sundays ago, our Archdeacon gave us 3 Greek words for love. Or 4. There were 4. So can we name those 4 Greek words? Let me even know how much we followed some of these sermons. 4 Greek words. Yes, you know any, you can just... Philio. Eros, agape, and stuge. The four of them are all good though. The only thing that they are restricted, because a lot of time we just talk about agape. Marriage without eros is useless. Can't work. When I counsel young people and I say, look, if you are not sexually attracted towards that girl, then she's not worth being your wife. If her futures are not appealing to you, because I was telling them yesterday when I was preaching to a group of students at Benin yesterday. I told them that why I'm slim is because of the problems of people that you hear. It dries you up. Some of us who are here looking at me, when you come for counseling, some of the things that some of us here are doing are not here, should not hear it. Especially in marriage. So if you know that that lady is not appealing to you by her physique, don't tell us God said. Because if you look at Adam did not request for a wife. Did he know that he even needed a wife? There was nothing like a wife. The man was on his own. It's God that said it's not good that he should be alone. He went and made Eve. When Adam saw him, did he say, who is this? Or even what is this? Because he won't even know he's a human being. What is this? Is it what Adam did? Said he was full of excitement, but all these other animals, he named them, he was not excited. But when he saw Eve, he was excited. He said, this is the bone of my bones, this is the flesh of my bones. I said, therefore shall a man leave the father and the mother and be united with the wife, and both shall become. And the Bible said they were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, the people that give us the greatest headache in marriage are the men. 90% of problems in marriage are caused by men. Even as I was driving down from Benin yesterday, the regional coordinator for Enugu was with me. We were talking. And we made a statement that women's love, because there was somebody, you know, I told you, Christians, problems that you bring to our ears are terrible. There's a brother who has left the wife. These are wonderful Christians. And then he was struck by sickness. You should know what I'm talking about. Struck by terrible sickness. And this sister that he drove away, that is not marrying again, came to be nursing him. But that love of sisters. This brother is so wicked, maltreating this sister, drove her away. Okay, go Batawara. And began to enjoy and expand. She go and went to live with the mother. Then Imaka Jehova said, me here, struck with terminal disease. And she will come back. No man will do that, I'm telling you. But this sister came back to come and be nursing him. So when he said it yesterday, my head turned. He said, love of women is wonderful. I was a group president, and I know what I'm telling you, and I'm a pastor. Christians, mean. But now you are the one. This is Tanokwarongwea. You are the one that left your father, left your mother, and went to look for her. If you say it's trouble, you are the one that went to look for trouble. Have you? Because if an unbeliever sang, he said, whether Onwerofanya, na my choice. You know that music. Some believers that sang it. It's your choice. So why should you not take care of her? Why should you not? Because you're the one that went for her. She did not force herself on you. There may be few exceptions. But majority of us here who are married, you are the one that went to look for her. Like my own case, everybody that was an adult around me said, you can't go and marry her, including Christians. But, do you know what is involved in cross-cultural marriage? I was telling somebody 2 days ago, when we were discussing, I said, when that elder in SU Council was telling me, that giving me a lecture on cross-cultural marriage, I was listening with the ear, but I sealed my heart because God had spoken. So here, he was talking to himself because I already knew what I was going to do when he finished. My own people, with the church, and I still went. Then there's the kita, I'm a punching bag. When I know what I went through to go and get her. So please, we need to be very, very careful. That agape that Archdeacon told us about, I talked about eros. Because till tomorrow, even as I was talking yesterday, I still told the students, if my wife undresses, my legs begin to jam. Yes, she still entices me. I'm talking about eros, because I said it is not bad. Because when we talk about eros, because it has been abused by the world, we think it's a bad thing. No. It's a wonderful thing created by God. One of the greatest experiences of life is when you get to orgasm in sex. I believe there's no child here. It's a wonderful thing created by God. But you can only get to that level where you love your wife. Where the two of you relate without any iota of comma in your relationship. You respect her, you hold her in high esteem. Brother Paul said we should relate with them with knowledge as unto what? Weaker vessel. I'm a one-sided marriage preacher anyway. I'm a one-sided. Everywhere I talk on marriage, men don't always feel happy with me. And I'm not apologetic about it. So please, men, let us arise and do something. What therefore is expected of us? The thing that is expected of us, which I'm going to say here, are impossible with men. It's only when you live at that agapeic level that it can become possible. Where the divinity of God overcomes your humanity and selfishness is destroyed before it becomes possible. What Abra Paul is discussing in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. The stuge is not like eros or the marriage relationship. Why I'm emphasizing marriage is that eros was not meant for boys and girls. We should not even mention it. Not meant for boys and girls. Go sleeping with a boy that is not your husband. You are bringing the wrath of God. And of course, your destination is hellfire. There's no debate about it. Bible says it should not even be mentioned about us. It was meant for marriage. Then Stuje, you know, in the eros, you went to look, if you call your wife trouble, you are the one that went to look for a trouble. But in the case of Stuje, you did not contribute. You didn't. You just saw yourself in that family. Whether you like him or not, it's immaterial. He's your mother, he's your father. And you find yourself in that family. So it's a natural love that just flows between siblings, parents, and their children. And then the filial is the friendship aspect. You still have a choice even there. Who to call your friend? Today you don't have a choice. Filial, you have a choice. But in the case of agape, it's beyond you. There is another person that is not just a possessor of love, but he himself is what? It's love. When you touch his head, you get love. You touch his hand, you get love. So the only way you can operate at that level is to be in touch with him. That level of love is impossible with unbelievers. One of the greatest givers in this country is Abiola. And one of the times he was talking, he said, you know, that as he gives, more comes. He was a very poor person. So he said when he was going to school, he was holding in the knicker he was wearing. Yes, even though I came from a poor family, I never wore a knicker that was torn to school. But he was that poor. Even Obasanjo said he was also wearing. Jonathan also said he was not having sandal. I was not that poor. So, but eventually when he went to this ITT or whatever, that he got into contact with this communication company, became one of the wealthiest men in Nigeria. And he was giving for roads, giving for this and for that. But at the end of the day, he was not a Christian. So it is not possible for unbelievers to have agapeic love. To give selflessly is not possible. So what should we do? What is expected of us? Let somebody read for us John chapter 3, verse 16. And then chapter 15, verse 13, and Ephesians 5, 2. Please, quickly, and we'll begin to round up with that. Quickly. John 3, 16. Hallelujah.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
God loved and he gave. And it's good you take note of the fact that when you say that God loved the world, that he gave his Son, it is not a complete knowledge. Because Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. Who is Jesus? Absolutely. The absolute knowledge. Huh? That's the absolute truth. When I was working in Nigerian Freight Company in Kaduna, I was talking to one of my colleagues, and of course, if you want to talk to a Muslim, make sure they are not two. So when others had gone on break, and it was only the two of us in the office, I started preaching to him. I told him he should give his life to Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I told him, I know your Quran quarrel about Jesus being the Son of God. You are even quarreling the half-truth. So Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God. He is God. Anything you want to do, you can go ahead. At least you have had the absolute truth. Did he do anything? He only grumbled and grumbled. We were friends. But at least I was happy I have imparted the complete truth. The complete truth is not that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Otherwise, you will not get the perspective and the level of sacrifice in that giving. God left his heavenly throne to come down on earth to deliver you and I. That's why he's called God incarnate. Hello? Are you with me? He gave himself. He didn't give his Son because it's easier for me to give my Son. He gave himself for the world. That God so loved the world that he left his heavenly throne and came here, submitted himself to enter into the womb of a woman that he created, and went and died the death of the cross for your redemption and my redemption. Chapter 15, verse 13 says, greater love had no man than this, that a man gave his life for the sake of his friends. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Anybody there? Quickly, please, because we're beginning to round up. Ephesians 5, 2. Hallelujah. See it? He said he should walk in love. As who? As Christ did. When Christ loved her, what did he do? What did he do as expression of that love? He gave himself. If you don't do that giving, then you are speaking in tongues or you're burning yourself at stake. It will just be a wasted effort. Or you're having faith that can move mountains. Now, listen to these statistics. I know that World Bank told us that more than 70% of the population of Nigerians are living below poverty level. I hope you are aware of that. And then the 90% of the wealth of Nigerians are in the hands of 10% of the population. That's why each time I eat, I feel grateful to God, because I don't belong to that level. I don't even have food to eat. But at the same time, it should be excessive. So listen to these statistics. Half of the world live on less than $2 a day. And if you translate that with 160 naira per dollar, which that will amount to 320 naira per day. And one in every six person in the world do not have access to health care. Even here in Enugu, in this parkland that we are inside, there are people who come to this hospital and they are not allowed to leave because they don't have money to pay their bill. I don't know whether that is true. It's more common in UNTH. Yeah? Say it loud now so that they will hear if you agree. Prof, always yoku. UNTH. It's in Ima. So in UNTH, it's very common because we are the victims. You are not the victims because they will not arrest you even if your wife didn't pay after antenatal. They wouldn't allow you to cross the gate. They stay there. Why can't you, as a medical doctor, pay that bill for the person, even if you don't know him or her? That's what Paul is demanding of us. That's the practical expression of our love. One in seven of those in the world do not get enough to eat. And yet some of us throw away food. I know I'm not talking to a poor church. Some of the people that are looking at me even this morning throw away food. The wife I married, we served together in Ibadan. She was serving in FACO. I served with Scripture Union. And Scripture Union gave me a 3-bedroom flat as a copper. So I was a big copper. So I was staying in the master bedroom and then gave the other rooms to other copper. Brother IG, Melifongo, and one other brother, okay, they were staying in one room. So she was staying in one of the rooms. And I used to buy Gary in bag. They buy Gary in this cellophane bag, small cellophane bag. And all of them, three of them will be eating my Gary, and we are all earning 200 naira per month. I didn't mind it. Eat, but don't throw away. I gave them a cellophane. She's here. So if you throw away food, I didn't know I was going to marry her by then anyway. But I was so absolute about it. IG will not always make the quantity of food he will eat. And when he goes to the market, we buy with this small white paper. Me, that will buy Gary from Agbo in bag. And you are my fellow copper. You come and be wasting my food. So when you go out there, you see people who are picking peeled yam and removing the outer, this thing again, that brown part of it, and eating that place you peeled off. In this Enugu. At least I know my sister in our fellowship who was doing that. And then I'll come, I'll cut a tuber of yam. I know that I will not finish it, and I'll go and throw half of it away. No, it cannot happen. And when eventually we got married, I said, that lost distance. She knows. Don't throw food in my house. If you want to make food, make the quantity you can eat. There are times she will be obstinate anyway. And she will go and throw and say, no, we cannot eat this one. But I don't always feel happy about it. But there are people out there who need it. So check, sisters, especially sisters in this regard. Don't throw away food. Come and drop it at the gate of Park Lane. Come the following morning, we'll meet it again. Nobody threw it away. People will devour it. Praise the Lord. 1 billion people who live on less than $1 a day. 1 billion out of the 6 billion population of the world. That is 160 naira. When you divide it by 3, just slightly above 50 naira. Some don't even have, because this is the white man statistics. In Nigeria, There are people who don't have $1 a day. At least, I used to belong to there before. I delivered myself. When I come back, I tell my children, when I come back from school, when I was in primary school, even up to secondary school, there will be no water to drink. The water that I will drink, I have to go to the stream to fetch it myself. So as you enter the house, there's no garri to drink, not even a grain. So you have to wait until they come back from the farm. You eat supper. So when they were leaving, they didn't bother to talk about what you eat when you come back from school. And that time, things were still better off. You can go across to friends and you can eat. Today, you can go around and you will not see anybody to give you free food. Township life is even worse. So what about you? We went for evangelism in men's fellowship. And I saw what I didn't really know. I didn't know that there are poor people in GRA. Was one of the compounds we entered, the people living at the boys' quarter, the type of houses they were living, I was amazed, like rats. This is GRA, just not too far from this church. And they're all around us. Then you begin to go to Ubiago and Abakwa. You'll be amazed. Afiana and Baroko, and there are homeless people there. How many of us made efforts to impact upon their life and do something about it? You can get there and take one of the ladies to your home. You can get there and give dress to one of them. Because if you know what it means that you went to bed, you are running for your dear life, everything you have is consumed by fire, and you're on your own. And the unfortunate thing, out of these people who feed with less than $1 in a day, 46% of them are in sub-Saharan Africa. And the unfortunate thing is that you people are answering the giant of Africa. But do you know that Nigeria is one of the poorest countries in Africa? And one of the poorest environments in Nigeria are within the suburbs of Abuja. You don't have poverty in the East because the average Igbo man is very hardworking. If you have not traveled to the North, you will not understand. I used to be one of those who complain, you know, they carry our money, the military, they carry our money to the North. One of the worst roads in Nigeria, I don't know of today, when I was in the North, is between Bida and Minna. And yet they had produced not less than 2 or 3 ex-presidents of Federal Republic of Nigeria. You cannot drive more than 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers per hour when you are traveling from Bida to Minna. Even from Minna to Suleja, you have a lot of potholes. So it was Obasanjo that patched the road. Whether IBB goes by, helicopter to Abuja, I don't know, or whether he uses that same road. So there's wickedness around us. The other day, I preached during the Fathering Sunday in Chapel of Redemption. I told them, as I was coming here, my car nearly broke down on the gate of your university. Must you wait for the university authority for that road to be patched? A depression before your gate. And here we have professors. Some of you have been professors for 50 years. And I have an idea what your income is. You are just studying it with your wife. And some of your children have become PhDs. You know, these are churches for youths. When you go there, you see what I'm talking about. Gray-haired professors. One of them, the daughter came from abroad to participate in that program. I thank God that the chaplain sent me a text the following week and said that they have sealed the place. If you're driving into your neck now, it's the church that sealed that place. And I feel happy about it. I also use the road, and I feel happy that the church is impacting on the community. A child dies every 15 seconds. Touch your wife. A child dies every 15 seconds from a water-related disease. This amounts to nearly 6,000 deaths every day. Water-related diseases. Worldwide, every 60 seconds, a woman dies of complications related to pregnancy. 1/4 of adults in the developing world cannot read or write. I thank God for one brother. He's a medical doctor. He's an Igbo man. He's in Kano. He gets these almajeris and look for Christian homes where they are settled. and sent to school. That's what he's doing. And one of the times they arrested him for child trafficking. Well, what saved him is that the governor that was sitting that time was his patient. Knew him very well. That's all that saved him. Otherwise, he would have been a dead man by now. Because those people are terrible. What are you contributing? He's a medical doctor, and you see him, a wonderful Christian, settling all those illiterate. Because if you go to the streets of Kano, you see people carrying plates, healthy-looking children, the young people, young boys, carrying plates. You can make it a ministry. Adopt them in your homes. It's not just all about house helps, no. Person comes, has equal right with your children. They go to school. I had one like that, but she became promiscuous, and I didn't still want to send her away, even with the promiscuity. We were giving high quality education with our children. Was very intelligent. But easy. At the end of the day, she ran home. When she came back with the father, I told God, if she decides to stay, I'll still retain her. But when she came, she said before her father she would not stay. And the father had to cry in her pallor. Not to let her go. Youth literacy all over the place. And I said here, even greater, we are sitting on gunpowder that will soon explode unless the church intervenes. I hope you know what caused the Arab Spring. A Tunisian young man that had a shop, and he came and pulled it down, and he set himself ablaze. And that caused the Arab Spring. Up to today, Tunisia do not have a standing government, a stable government. Egypt, the same thing. Syria is still fighting. Because a young man burnt himself. We are not too far from there. Except the church does something. The human nature is essentially selfish, including Jonathan. One of the reasons he's not fighting corruption is because he himself is corrupt. As the governor of Bayelsa State, the wife was arrested for money laundering. And somehow he escaped. So he cannot. They don't have solution to our problems. The people that have the solution is the church. But what are you and I doing? What are we doing? We come to the church, we clap hands, we sing, we dance, we go back to our homes. Is it all that worshiping God is all about? Our church is trying. This church, I must call this church. But what of you as an individual? Like now, we're talking about Nome. In less than 1 year, or about that, this church has built 2 churches. I was told during our evangelism committee meeting last 2 weeks that the community said, we are going to make our people to go to this church because the way we are looking at them, they look real. The societies, the world is tired of the church because the church is artificial. I tell people that if I was not born again, I can't get born again now. Because the church creates confusion for you. You look at the life of a pastor, you can't see God. Is it not in this Enugu that a pastor finished preaching as I'm preaching now, between 12 noon and 1 p.m. he was on top of a woman and died in the hotel room with her. So is it the kind of person that will make me to get repented and begin to serve God? Or is it a thing that when I come to church, you extract the last cobra I have in my pocket, and you're growing fat and I'm growing leaner? You are driving, you are looking for what do you call it, Homer Jeep, as a pastor to drive, and me, I don't even have a bicycle. I will not serve that kind of God that creates such a disequilibrium in his body. The church is in confusion, the world is tired. But this community said, it looks like this one's, because there was a display of love. Don't go talking theory. The people that brought the gospel to us, they did not come preaching. They came with education. They came with clothing our people. They came with welfare. The missionaries were practical. So our church is trying, but what of you as an individual? Is there anything you are doing to make the world a better place? Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, we were made to have dominion. And in chapter 2 verse 15, the Lord gave us to tame the garden. We were to take care of God's creation, including the animals, the trees, and the human elements around you. In your neighborhood, when you go today, look at the person next door. Western culture is encroaching on us that you live in a flat, the flat opposite to you, don't even know their name.
And I'm also guilty of it. Though my own, I can be exempted because I visit this Enugu. I don't really live here. But my wife knows the names of everybody in Abuja. I don't know the name of all of them. But if it's in the village, 20 buildings, I will know all of them. So our township lies in making us to live a very selfish and isolated life. But when you just go and talk to that person next door neighbor and just smile at her face, say, how are you? You don't need so much sermon. Come and see the expression of joy that will be in that person. Praise the Lord. I want to read this for us and then I'll just pray. Evangelist William Franklin Billy Graham, 1918, has preached the gospel message to more people than anyone else in history. His evangelistic crusades has spanned the globe. Although conservative in theology, he has long advocated the necessity for Christians to fully engage in the world, not only with the gospel message of conversion, but also with social service. As Richard Rehard reported in an article in Modern American Protestantism, and its world, Graham asserted, the fruit of rebirth is neighbor love. The fruit of rebirth is neighbor love. Expressed in social service, adding that social service without conversion is absurd. Graham further pointed out that a great section of the church feels this should go hand in hand, going on to state, I am one of them. Kumuyi, after the isolation from both the society and the church, deeper life was isolated from both the society, from both the church. They were becoming irrelevant. But somehow, the same Kumuyi told his members, he said, your next door neighbor, the child is sick. And you're the only one that own car in that compound. And he said, I have Wednesday Bible study. And he's looking at you and you drove off. And tomorrow you come and tell him that Jesus saves. If you watch, deeper life is changing. I think he's even trying to belong to Khan now. Let us pray. I believe somebody has understood what our brother Paul is talking. If you have faith that can move mountain, if you even burn yourself to the stake, but there's no love in it, it profits you nothing. That your neighbor that you cooked during Christmas and gave him food, and yet in your heart there's a quarrel, it has profited you nothing. But when that action is executed in the spirit of love, for God and His creation, there will be impact, and you yourself will have a reward.